Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, again, we appreciate those who've tuned in to listen. Appreciate those who are in the studio here today. And we want to ask God to anoint his word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the time we have to come and bask in the sunlight of your love. We thank you, Lord, we have the privilege to come and be in your presence. And God, we ask you, God, come now and meet with us. Let us be lifted up to sit together in heavenly places. Give us that kind of meeting today that the angels would desire to look therein upon. Come and meet with us and uplift your people. God, those that are weary, touch them. Those, Lord, that needs healing, let them be healed. Those that need saved, let them be saved. Those that need to be reclaimed, let them be reclaimed in the mighty hand of God. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Probably the most misunderstood thing in the Word of God is the message of the power of the Holy Ghost of God. We hear so many slurs made. We hear so many people that even profess to be Christians. I hear preachers say, well, that's a bunch of them old holy rollers, or that's a bunch of them old tongue talkers. And, you know, a preacher that goes to the pulpit and don't know the Word of God shouldn't speak up and let everybody know how ignorant he is. You know, when a preacher that's supposed to be a preacher goes to the pulpit and makes fun of holy rollers, makes fun of the Holy Ghost, makes fun of tongues, then he's saying to the world, I'm a preacher, but I'm ignorant. And we've got a lot of ignorant preachers in the pulpit. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of them that are ignorant of the entirety of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, a lot of preachers don't want the Holy Ghost to have free reign in their church. First of all, when people... See, so many pastors like to keep their congregation dumb and under thumb. You know, that's sad, but that's the truth. They don't want anybody to get any spiritual understanding. They don't want them to get the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost because they've already studied enough to know that if you get the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost, you got discernment. And if you got discernment, you can look upon the situation and you can see it not through your eyes, but you can see it through the eyes of the Spirit. And when you begin to see this thing through the eyes of the Spirit, then you begin to see and understand. So if I could say today, and I probably don't preach enough on the Holy Ghost, but I try to preach on it as much as the Lord quickens me. And when I come here to the studio real early this morning, and we started broadcasting program after program this went on the airways, God was talking to my spirit, and he was talking to me about the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible says, without wholeness, no man shall see the Lord. You can't get around that, no way, no shape, or. And somebody might say, well, rightly divide the word holiness. The word holiness is pure. The word holiness is accepting the wholeness of God. God said that he was holy. And without that wholeness, no man would see the Lord. So it's a standard wherein that God's people must come to. Now, it's referred to many, many times. They separate the different denominations and they separate the non-wholeness from the wholeness, and a lot of folks call the non-wholeness, they call them nominal believing people, and then they say wholeness believing people. Well, before I ever heard tell of a church called Wholeness Church, I was a young man in the Brethren Church, and I was taught wholeness in the Lord. I was taught you're supposed to live by the book. I was taught when Jesus Christ saves you of your sins, you come forth with a new life that is an example of Christ. And this life that I used to live, I no longer live. Because the life I now live, I live it in Christ. And he bought me and paid for me. He paid for my eternal redemption. He is the perpetuation, the price paid for sin. And he alone bought for you and bought for me our eternal life. And we're saved today because he shed his blood for us. Now then, we owe back to him to allow his sanctifying power. And see, a lot of folks say, man, wonder why they can't. They say, well, I want to do good. Paul said he wanted to do good, but when he wanted to do good, he done wrong. He done bad. Because why? Because evil is present in the world. Because the world is wicked. The flesh is contrary to God. And the flesh, it don't want like to get in line. The flesh don't like to pray. It don't like to study the Bible. The flesh don't really, it don't really like to get out of bed this morning and come to church. He'd rather just stay propped up and just stay there relaxed or whatever. That's what the flesh would rather do. But thank God that some of us has got control over the flesh through the Spirit, and we tell the flesh what the flesh is going to do because we're walking in Christ. And if you're walking in Christ, you're not going to mind the flesh all the time. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. They know we're in the Word of God. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, we're in Christ, and Christ is in us, and that seed of God within us will not produce unrighteousness, but we got the flesh in there that's kind of trying to get in the way all the time. But as we walk in Christ, we submit ourselves and see God. First of all, when he said, I will not leave you comfortless, he knew that man was going to fail. He knew that man was not going to be able to do this thing himself. And he said, it's expedient that I do what? That I go away. He said, now when I go away, he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and the Father's going to do something. And that which the Father was going to do, he was going to send the Comforter. But first, Jesus prayed a prayer while he was on this earth. He said, Father, don't take them out of the world. One preacher said one time, he said, I'd kind of like to have a dumbwaiter behind the pulpit or behind the altar, and when you get one saved, just throw him up on the dumbwaiter and push a button and holler, hey, God, got one coming on up. He said, a lot of times it seemed like it would be easier that way. Just when they got saved, send them on up. But you know, it don't work that way. Why? Because Jesus set the example, and he prayed a prayer. In the prayer that he prayed, he said, Father, don't take them out of the world. You're going to have to live in a world that people's cussing, people's talking profanity all day long, that they're lying and swearing and killing and cussing and drinking and boozing and snorting and everything else. You're going to have to live in a world, and you're going to face that every day of your life. But Jesus said, Father, don't you take them out of the world. Leave them in the world. But he didn't stop there. He said, sanctify them from the world. Now, the Bible said we're sanctified, first of all, by the blood, the truth, the word, and the spirit. And that's working in us daily. See, some different religions, some don't believe in sanctification, some don't know what it is, they say you get it one time at an altar, and it's a one-time gift, and that's it, and, you know, it's like driving your car through the car wash, and if you want wax, you push the button, and it gives it a shot of wax. A lot of people think that that's kind of the way sanctification is. We got a shot of it, but I believe that sanctification works in your life daily. I believe there are things in your life every day you have to decide to do and not do. I believe you can decide to be bad when you want to be bad. You'll pay the consequences. I believe you can decide to be good, and you'll inherit the reward for being good. It's up to you. But the Bible said that he prayed that prayer and said, Father, do not take them out of this world, but let them be sanctified from it and leave them in it. Now then, this promise he made in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, he said that this promise was not just to me and you, not just to them disciples that he was praying for them, but it is who, as many as the Lord thou God shall call. As many as you hear the word. With the word comes a sanctification package. With the word comes a wallop. I tell you, the word carries a pounce. It carries a lick. Amen. And greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. You got the power to stand on top. You got the power to overcome the devil. You got the power to win this race. You got the power to climb the mountain and stand on top. You can be king of the hill. Amen. Glory to God. And the devil, ain't nothing he can do about it. Why? Because it come in your salvation package. Glory to God. A lot of folks never unpack their salvation package. They took it home, put it in the cedar chest. Amen. Kind of like the family Bible, you know. A lot of folks said, oh, we got a family Bible. We hadn't seen it in years, but we know we got it. A lot of people, is that way with their salvation? They say, you say, well, yeah, we got it one time. We got it. I know somewhere. I ain't seen it in a while. I ain't felt it in a while. I felt mine this morning when my feet hit the floor and I got out of the bed. I felt it when I come in the door. I felt it when I hear them begin to sing. I felt it, amen, when the power of God runs all over me and I can't stand still. I feel that power of God. My God's not dead. He's still alive, high and lifted up and on his throne. Not on a vacation, not on a journey. He's never out of the office. He's there 24/7. He's got what you need. Just call on him in Jesus' name. He's still healing. He's still power. He's still blessing. He's still anointing. He's still touching. Amen. Glory to God. He's an awesome God. Amen. But see, the Father, he said, don't you take him out. Give them a dose of this sanctification. Amen. Jesus prayed it. That's the reason the dumb waiters, we don't send them on up when they get saved. I'm kind of like that preacher. I've seen a lot. I thought it would have been better if we'd send on up. Amen. Because the devil's out there seeking who he can devour. He's out there. I mean, you preach to people, you warn people, you show people, you tell people, but the devil's out there deceiving. He's got workers. He's got a whole staff, legions of demons that's out there to destroy you, to confuse you, to tear you down, to stop you, to make you think, well, it ain't worth it. I can't make it. But thank God you can, because he said you could. Then he told them, and he set the example in Acts in the first chapter in verse 8, but you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. That means Hillsville, Virginia. The uttermost parts of the world. That means Hillsville, Virginia. Carroll County, Hillsville, Virginia. You're going to be a witness. You're going to be, that's the purpose. And he told the church to tarry there, and they would receive this power. And this power that he gave to the believer, to the man or woman that's saved, this power is available upon request and upon demand. And this power gives you the power to overcome, the power. And I'm glad I've got the quickening power of the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't know what that's about. That's kind of like I got a man inside me. He's alive bigger than I am. When I want to sit down, he stands up. When I want to quit, he goes forward. When my strength's gone from yesterday, he is my strength. When the devil hits me with the best wallop he can and says, you're down, Holy Ghost comes up and said, I've just started. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That song Sandy sings, I'm going to get her to sing it when I finish up here today. Coming out on top. Powerful song, powerful song. I'm going to tell you, amen. If you've got God, you'll come out on top. If you've got the Holy Ghost in you, you'll come out on top. Acts, you know, the Word of God says plain, you know, throughout the Word of God, he promised this. And if you go over and look in, what is it, Luke 3, I believe it's 3. Yeah, Luke 3:16. John answered, saying unto them, oh, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the lashes of his shoes, I am not worthy to unloosen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. He will baptize you. See, you got to understand that there's two baptisms. There's a baptism of water that when you're saved, and there's a baptism of spirit. And that spirit is when he baptizes you with his Holy Ghost power and his Holy Ghost fire. And the word tells us in Acts 5 and 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. The reason a great number of people don't ever receive the Holy Ghost and fire is they're not willing to obey God. You know, Are you an obedient child? Well, a lot of time you hear people talk about what God has told them to do, but are you doing what God has told you to do? For example, that Brother Todd tells me he's going to preach God first time I ever laid eyes on him, first time I ever met him, he stuck his hand out and he said, I'm going to be a preacher. You know, he's going to be a preacher. I told him, I said, well, I'll help you. Every person in the sound of my voice has got a purpose in your life that God's given you. He's got a command he's given you. You got a gut feeling of what he wants you to do. And the simple thing is, are you doing what God wants you to do? Happiest people in the world is people that find God's will, get in it, and stay in it. I'm going to tell you something. Reason people get defeated is to get out of God's will. The reason people get in all kind of situations, and a lot of time nothing won't work for them, nothing won't go right for them, is they get out of the will of God. I preached just the other week a message on the will of God. We need to know the will of God for our life. We need to get in it, walk in it, stay in it, abide in it. It'll lead to victory in your life. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is something that was given on the day of Pentecost. And I want to clear up in your mind, some people think, well, you know, this thing just happened one time. And I've heard a lot of preachers stand in the pulpit and say, well, bless God, it was a grand old day at the day of Pentecost, but that was then and this is now. We don't have that stuff in our church anymore. And that's the God's truth. A lot of preachers don't have it in their church. One preacher told everybody, he said, now, Brother Gold, he said, I know Brother Gold, and he's got the Holy Ghost, but I got a different Holy Ghost. I told the guy for one time in his life, he said the truth, because he didn't have the real Holy Ghost. What he had was sure different. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, Peter, he stood up on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to backtrack this in a minute, but I want to cover this verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, you, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall do what? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost. If I give you something, it's yours. Now, a gift is something you don't have to earn or pay for. You don't get a bill for it later. A gift is something freely given. Understand, Jesus prayed the Father. He said, it's expedient I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But the fact that he went away, he said, I'm going to pray the Father. First of all, he prayed, Father, don't take him out of the world, leave him in the world, but sanctify him from the world. Secondly, he said, Father, give them the Holy Ghost, and we'll be their comfort. Bible says, if unless you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. King James Version rightly divides that, but the King James Version of the Bible also rightly divides that the Holy Ghost is a separate identity that we receive beyond salvation. Some preachers, some churches trying to tie it all into one ball of wax and say when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost and that's it. But I can prove to you to the contrary by the word of God. On that day of Pentecost, the Bible says, Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, a lot of folks is going to begin to tell you, well, that just was what happened that day. But you got to remember, I've done read to you what the Word of God said, that this thing is to your children, them afar off, and as many as the Lord thou God shall call. So you got to understand, this thing is just not for those people, but into the Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. The Bible says in verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You got to understand there must be an utterance of the Holy Ghost. God. And this is the part that preachers make mockery of. I've heard preachers say, boy, they won't none of that stuff go on in my church. Well, probably they won't. If an old preacher's got an old lustful eye, lusting after every woman comes along, he's, got an old contrary spirit of God, preaching false doctrines and everything else, the Holy Ghost ain't going to come. He's not going to abide in his service. And a lot of preachers don't want the Holy Ghost in there, because if the Holy Ghost gets in there, he's going to uncover them. I was holding a revival in Blacksburg, Virginia one time. Holy Ghost got loose. We had 70-some people saved in 3 weeks. And it uncovered the pastor who was sleeping with the clerk. Boy, he got up when the Holy Ghost, he was fine as everything was shouting. He thought he was going to get some new tithe payers. He was shouting, but when the power of God fell in that place and discerned him out and flushed him out, and the word got out that he was sleeping with somebody in the church, he wanted to shut the revival down. He wanted to shut that thing off, cut it off. He wanted to get rid of it right then. He didn't want no more of that happening. He'd been fooling everybody for a long time. He'd been playing church, but when the Holy Ghost come in, he uncovered. The Holy Ghost will take the blanket off his old sin. The Holy Ghost will uncover sin. And that's the reason a lot of preachers don't want it and won't have it. One of the biggest churches right up the street here stood up in the pulpit and told anybody that talked in tongues was of the devil. And he calls himself a preacher. The Bible said, every place in the Word of God to receive the Holy Ghost, They begin to speak in tongues. And here it's Samaria. He said it's going to be Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. And it began to take place at a season later. Now when the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, heard the Samaritans had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, and they might receive the Holy Ghost. And as it was yet not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then we go on a step further. 20 years after Pentecost, we find another place. We find here that the fulfillment of this, and let's go one more place. Let's go the first time it appeared to the Gentiles in Acts the 10th chapter. You may want to jot some of these down, look them up, and study them when you get home today. In Acts the 10th chapter, in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came them on the Gentiles, also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, and goes on to say what he said. And then let's go one more place. I wanted to cover 20 years after the day of Pentecost. And it came to pass, at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper parts of, and it goes on in verse 2, and said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And the word of God goes on to say, verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesy. This is the word of God. This is the message that the church needs. This is what Hillsville needs. This is what every church in America and the world needs. They need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God. They need the power of Pentecost. They need the power of the gospel. And it's this power, you can overcome all obstacles. You can overcome the devil. You can overcome the world. You can overcome it all. But you have to have the power of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, this message, as it goes to the airways, It goes out to thousands and ten thousands of people that will hear this message today. God, let them realize that they don't need another pill. They don't need another tranquilizer. They don't need another thing that man will give them, but they need to find an altar of prayer, give their heart unto Jesus Christ, and give over their souls unto sanctification, wherein that God can fill and baptize with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of his glorious language speak out through them and speak in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, save to the uttermost. Lord, refire in the fire of Pentecost in those that, Lord, that have been filled with your Spirit, but it lays dormant because cold and indifferent preachers and cold and indifferent churches refuse to preach the message of Pentecost. God, anoint now this word today, and God will give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.